Every year, Yom HaZikaron evokes a myriad of different emotions. The emotions are the same, but unfortunately, the names change. It just came from the cemetery in the Gush, and a whole new row was added to what will be an annual gathering. You become family with these people on a yearly basis, the family of a day, one day a year, the day of Yom HaZikaron. The Fold family of Ari Fold, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was there. We gathered at his keder. And I told the boys last night when I tried to introduce the day that in many, many ways, it feels like a Yom Kippur experience, a day that is beyond most of our Yom Tovim. We tackle an issue of our lives. We amplify that issue. We tag it to a historical point of genesis or moment of creation. What does it mean to be a people? Pesach. What does it mean to be free from human tyranny? Pesach. What does it mean to follow Hashem's will? Shavuos. What does it mean to feel His providence and protection? Sukkos. What does it mean to see His hidden hand in history? Purim. But there are days that just aren't part of the human realm. They're larger. They're not just amplifications of a human experience. They feel larger. And that's why I use the word Kedusha. Kedusha doesn't just mean holiness. It means going somewhere else. It means transcendence. Yom Kippur is the ultimate day of transcendence, the day to transcend human experiences, human flaw, human failure, this world, the world of physical experience, and to be in Shemayim. And Yom HaZikaron is the day to transcend. Transcend individualism is the day that we live as one. There's no meaning. It's a closed, dead-end tragedy without there being something larger that we live our lives for. Else these people just died for no purpose. And they're just graves and they're just names. But there's a collective and communal experience that we're all part of. And we look beyond even who we are as family. There's almost an informal family we all feel. First of all, you feel the deep bonds of the families of the bereaved. Very poignant. And again, please excuse me, these ideas and thoughts are very extemporaneous. I haven't prepared them, but I felt like they should be issued in a raw sense rather than a prepared format. You literally see people, different families obviously, but they become families for a day. I'm just mentioning the names. Those names may be familiar to some listeners. Cheryl Mandel, whose son Daniel was killed in a battle. Of course, the Fold family, Yaakov Doner of Yaakov Don's family, who was killed a few years ago in a terrible, terrible incident that took the life of Ezra Schwartz from Boston. One of the parts of the ceremony today that was very poignant was, I think it was people from the school where Yaakov Don, Zichrono Livracha, taught, and Kobi Mandel. For those who are younger listeners of this year, Kobi Mandel was that younger boy, not Daniel Mandel. Kobi Mandel, one of those boys who was in a cave, which was taking a teyul, and unfortunately Arab terrorists bashed his head in with rocks or boulders. He was also Yaakov. He was Yaakov Kobi Mandel. And I think they were separated, their terror incidents, by 15 years, and if I'm not mistaken, Kobi Mandel attended the school in which Yaakov Don had taught. So we transcend who we are as families, we transcend who we are as individuals. To a degree, I think we even transcend ideologies. I hate that word. I call them inclinations. I just spoke on Sunday in a panel about how silly I feel some of these divisions between Haredi, Dati, Lumi, or how transitory they are, but they exist. But even Haredi-oriented thinkers who don't maintain or don't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, they're very, very driven and riveted upon Yom HaZikaron for good reason, for understandable reason. I'm not describing the ideology, but it's understandable that Yom HaTzmaut is a day of ideology and Yom HaZikaron is a day of holiness, of people who are most in Nefesh HaKiddush Hashem. And I'm a big fan of his politics, but today the, so to speak, keynote speaker the Gersh ceremony was Aryeh Deri, who isn't known as the greatest ideological Zionist, and he quoted Rabbi Avadia Yosef, who wouldn't be seen necessarily in that image. But it's also a day in which people transcend time. We travel through time, both in the remote sense. We don't just think about what happened recently. I spent a couple hours, as best as I can, watching on TV each person who passes, the little movie that's made in their honor, a memorial to their lives, in part how the family copes with their passing. And then you go from someone who died a few months ago in one of the pigoim to soldiers in these black and white grainy footage from the Independence War. Then you talk about something in 1970, but it's not just you span the 71 years of our state. You also span Jewish history. You think about, in the literal sense, who else died, Al Kiddush Hashem, but not just in the sense of a timeline of death, but just how much we've accomplished in history. And it was so poignant. One of the boys today at the cemetery was just having a hard time wrapping his head around Yom HaZikaron and its juxtaposition to Yom Yerushalayim and transitioning from sadness into happiness and the juxtaposition. And I said, it's really not a transition. Because as we know, life is complex in that way. We don't feel one emotion and then a different emotion. But our experiences are more often laced with multiple conflicting emotions, and certainly Jewish history, and certainly the state of Israel. So today is a great, great source of pride. Every tear, and I haven't stopped crying. For those who have experienced hardship in life, and I'm sure people have experienced it in ways that I can't even imagine. And then, but when you just cry and cry and cry and cry, and you feel like there's just no more tears left in you, your sockets. But every tear that I've shed has been tinged with the sense of how proud we are to have our country and to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu back in history and to have accomplished so much with our state and the price we've paid. And it's even hard for me to describe, because are we happy when we see Jewish soldiers? Well, I wish there weren't any Jewish soldiers. I wish there weren't any need for Jewish soldiers. But in our reality, in our broken world, we still need Jewish soldiers, and we still need to battle for our people. And I was thinking today about the word masa. The Gemara talks about different forms of nevuah. And one of the interesting Mamari Chazal is that there are 10 different languages of nevuah. The familiar ones, the classic ones, Mashal, Militza, Nevuah, Chazon, probably the most famous ones. But one of the terms of nevuah is Masa. Masa Devar Hashem. How many times is Masa employed as Masa Devar Hashem? Probably 10, 12, not exactly, but Yeshaya, Yechezkel, several times, probably more. I'm going to have to research, and just speaking off the top of my head, so I apologize. Haven't had much time to do much. And it's strange that a term which is typically associated with a weight, Masa is a weight, is a term of Nevuah. And to a degree, though they seem conflicting, vision and burdens, they really are very similar. And living through Yom HaZikaron gave me that sense. It's a terrible, terrible burden. That's a word that a lot of bereaved families keep saying, that essentially you have a new burden introduced into your life. You live with it on a daily basis. There's not one day you don't live with the sadness, with the longing, with the nostalgia. And it's like you're carrying something extra in your life, and obviously in a far, far less level, but everyone else in this country, and we share as best as we can again. There's no way you can even imagine the nightmare and the hellish tragedy, but you try to climb as best you can into their worlds and share their pain and cry their tears. It's a burden to live in Israel. It's a burden to defend our state, It's a burden to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. It's not an easy cakewalk through history. It's not just a simple life with comfortable homes, getaways, cruises, nice padded income. It's a burden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And today we feel the burden of Jewish history, the burden of being called to be his people and to challenge the world and to build our state and to face all the defiance that we face. But by carrying something on our shoulder, something beyond just today or the next 3 hours or the exigencies and the immediacies of life, but something long-term, it's also prophetic. It also opens your eyes. I'm sitting in my room in Alon Shavuot, listening to the birds chirping, looking out at the clouds upon the hilltops of Gush Etzion. And I'm thinking of maybe Avram Avinu, who walked these hills, maybe Tanoim, who were wandering in this area, certainly thinking about Rachel Imenu, buried so close, certainly thinking about three boys in Shemaim who were very much part of this territory, Naphtali, Gilad, and Ayal. So today, I'm not just thinking about lunch, I'm not just thinking about how tired I am not having slept in a few nights, I'm thinking of something prophetic. I'm thinking about what this all means, and without the burden, the prophecy doesn't emerge. And vice versa. Without a prophetic vision of what this all means, you can just escape the burden. You cry some crocodile tears, handshake the parents, give them a nice hug, and then walk away and disengage and go to YouTube and follow some sports. But if you understand the impact and the magnitude and what this day means, and you have that prophecy, then you have the privilege of carrying the burden. It seems like a strange phrase in today's modern lexicon, the privilege of the burden, because it seems so antithetical to the freedom and the lightness of democracy and unrestrained freedom and liberty. But it's a good phrase, the freedom of the burden, or the privilege of the burden, I'm sorry. And that's the Kedusha of today. It's the Kedusha that comes from transcending individualism, transcending time, aligning yourself with Am Yisrael, not just those who live in Israel or who are struggling in Eretz Yisrael today, but the lineage of Jews throughout history, part of something a little bit larger. It may seem very strange to a religious listener that I'm comparing Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaKippurim, but I can guarantee that anyone that's been in Israel and is deeply immersed in the day knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I'll end with something I've spoken about before. You can look at YU Torah, there's a whole shiur on this. We're compared to sheep. Nechshavnu katzon l'tivcha. Because for centuries we were led to slaughter without a choice, without anyone defending us, without an army, without anyone caring. And at the end of Galus, and Galus always becomes more intense and more pitched towards its conclusion, without even a choice. Jews had a choice in Spain. It wasn't a really delightful choice, but they could convert, or they could leave, or they could die. So it was a multiple choice. Jews in France, Jews always had a choice. It wasn't always an attractive choice, but at least it was a choice. It wasn't dehumanizing. Human beings are built on choice. And the choice to die rather than convert is a choice. It's a decision. Jews in the Holocaust didn't even have a choice. That's really being relegated to a sheep rather than a human being. Sheep have no choice. They flock and follow the herd. But then there's another image of Mesiras Nefesh HaKadosh Hashem. Not like sheep, but like doves. We're compared in Shir Hashirim to a dove, Yonah, si b'chag v'hasela b'seisu ha-madriga. We're compared to a Yonah because a dove evidently also puts up a little resistance during its slaughter, and we're not eager. Again, we have no death wish. We don't pursue death. We don't celebrate death. But Jews are willing to take that stand. Jews are willing to die on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now on behalf of their country. And of course, we see them as exactly the same, as identical. But there's another image to dove. The dove of loyalty, faith, commitment. Doves are very, very faithful mates. And somehow, Yom HaZikaron feels different. For the last 2,000 years, we've been sheep. Now we're doves. And they overlap in as much as, in both cases, we've suffered terrible tragedy. But it's different. Now we're flying, literally. Now we feel that our faith is being reciprocated, is being compensated. So what a schus it is to go from being from sheep to being like doves. Everyone should have a meaningful Yom HaZikaron.